This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Shure Parks and Jack Fritz.
Yeah. It's another
probably a little too energetic with it.
Probably a little. That's not because you didn't have your coffee. That's not a reason why you needed the clapping.
It's very quickly gone from me not drinking coffee to now feeling like I need coffee to start my day.
I can see it in your eyes, frankly. You know, I can see the little bit. I can't tell if it's because the Sixers lost last night or it's that you haven't had your morning coffee.
It's a mixture.
Yeah. Welcome on in. It's another edition of Clap Your Hands, presented by Coors Light. I would say it's probably too early for a Coors Light, but just mix it in, you know? When you're...
Monday, to get you to Monday.
Yeah, the Monday night Coors Light, when the Sixers win game two, is going to hit a lot better than the Saturday night. The Sixers lost Coors Light.
Yes.
You know, that's not going to hit the same. So it's Jack Fritz, Elliot Shure Parks, reacting to, obviously, Sixers lose up in the Mecca. The Mecca last night at the at Madison Square Garden. Elliot, what's the big thing that you kind of feel today?
Yeah, so I went into the series, and I didn't think they would win the series. So for them to lose game one was not shocking to me. I think my main takeaway before we get into the specifics is – I just think if these teams played 10 times, it would be 5-5 or 6-4. I think the idea the Sixers are way better than the Knicks just isn't really true. I think they have Embiid and Maxey, who are two of the three best players in the series, and frankly played like it yesterday. I know Embiid obviously had the injury scare. Maxey was awesome in the second half. Brunson was probably the third best player in that game. But they're just extremely evenly
yesterday.
I know. Well, he still had 22 points, but whatever. I agree. He was not good regardless. 8 for 26. They did a good job on him. I just, when I watch these teams, I really think each game is going to come down to the final 4 or 5 minutes. And what's concerning to me is over a small stretch, and really why they lost this game yesterday, is the Knicks are just going to get so many more second opportunities than the Sixers are. They dominated the offensive rebounding glass. I think they had 23 offensive rebounds. And watching a full Knicks game now, as closely as I did, obviously, because they're playing the Sixers, it's pretty clear on offense their strategy is shoot threes and then get the offensive rebounds. Like, they're not really attacking the basket. Brunson, I know, does like the mid-range thing, but that wasn't falling for him. So overall, I don't think it was a game where you leave and go, man, they have this one thing that's going to be the Sixers' fatal flaw. I guess rebounding would be the closest to that. But I didn't leave thinking, oh, it's six, you know, the Knicks are going to win in five or anything. I think it's going to be a really close series. And at the end of the game yesterday, Josh Hart made threes and the Sixers didn't. And so they lost. Like, that's kind of what it came down to in a simplistic way.
Has a take aged as horribly and as quickly as my rebounding is overrated take?
It took about a quarter.
Well, and I appreciate the people that tweeted me how poor it was. And hand up, you know, I didn't put that one in the take vault. Because my thing with rebounding is that it's really just effort. Like, if you just try and want to, you can get rebounds. The way that they just got absolutely torched on the boards yesterday was brutal. But the other thing, I guess why I'm not too down is, first off, the goal is to split there anyway. Like, if you think the series is going six.
I just think that's like...
I'm just saying. Hey, I don't know if you know this. Do you know this? That the series doesn't start till the home team loses? So that hasn't happened yet. So you can say the series hasn't even started. I just didn't have this takeaway from yesterday that, oh my God, that Knicks team, they're tough to beat. I didn't have that feeling at all. I think they have a better 3-8 than the Sixers. Like, they have a better team, right? They have a better overall team. And sure, like,
it's like a problem.
Seems like a problem. I get it. But it wasn't, I didn't have this, oh bleep, like, this is, the Sixers don't have a chance in this series. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that if some other things go their way yesterday, if Embiid doesn't have to miss the closed out of the first half, maybe the game goes a little bit differently yesterday. I don't have this kind of doomsday approach to the loss yesterday. I thought they were going to lose game one regardless. I actually thought they were going to get run off the floor a little bit. That's how I felt. And they didn't. And a lot of it was the offensive rebounding. Do I think that they could correct freaking rebounding? I would hope so. I mean, they might not have the personnel for it, but it's not the most like incorrectable thing in the entire world. So
it should be the easiest thing to do.
It should theoretically.
Of the main like shooting, passing, rebounding, I feel like rebounding should be the easiest of those.
Yeah, it should be. So, like, sure, is McBride not going to go 5 of 7 again this series? Probably not. But is DiVincenzo going to have 8? Probably not. He's going to have more than that. Are they going to be able to shut down Brunson essentially like they did yesterday? Probably not. But the simple fact of the matter is that they do have Joel Embiid, and I thought Maxey was good yesterday. I thought yesterday was like, okay, now it took him a little bit to get going, right? I mean, the first half, it was like, what is Maxey doing out there? He's kind of just floating. Yeah. And then he had a little dog in him, and I was happy to see that. Now, it felt like the Knicks kind of went into the game being like, okay, you're not going to beat us in 3. If you can do your kind of acrobatics at the rim like you can. But like, I didn't have the feeling like this is an impossible task for the Sixers after game one yesterday.
I guess why I feel differently is all year I felt the Sixers were way better than the Knicks. When Embiid
was because of that tweet, dude. We get it. You had one tweet that's not going well, okay? No, you're letting it cloud your judgment.
I mean, you were higher on the Knicks all year. So maybe for you, it isn't as startling. I thought the Sixers team was way better. And so and then honestly, at the beginning of the game, Embiid comes out, he's dominating. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, they have the best player in the series. Embiid looks awesome. He comes out. I think he scored the first 9 points of the game. They go up 10, 15 points, something like that. And grant, the Knicks weren't making their shots. But that's what I thought the difference between the two teams were all year. To your point, McBride, you're not going to get 20 from him every game. But they just have more guys than the Sixers do. So what annoyed me, just to get frankly right into it, is – I can't do it anymore with after they lose, explaining away why they're actually the better team, why they're actually going to win the series. If you look on Twitter, it's, well, you know, if Embiid's plus minus versus when he's on, like, it's always been a problem for this team. To say that a problem that's plagued the Sixers for what, 5 or 6 years now, that when Embiid's off the court, that they're not as good, that's not going to solve itself over the next few games. I don't know what the solution is. I agree. When Embiid went down for those, you know, 3 or 4 minutes at the end of the second quarter, it changed the entire game. The Sixers went from, I believe, tied or maybe up 5 or 6 to down big going into halftime. It happened again later on in the third, I believe it was the fourth quarter. Like, ultimately, they can't compete when Embiid's not on the court. But the issue is Embiid is constantly going to be off the court. We don't even know if he's going to play in game 2. So why I leave the game, and you're right, I don't leave thinking the Knicks are some monumental team that, like, cannot be beaten and this is going to be over quickly. It's just in a series that is, you know, I think going to go 7 or 6. Losing that first game is a major blow. I looked up this morning. I texted it to you. I was surprised by this. Teams that lose game one, teams that win game one, win the series 70% of the time, 77% of the time. I'm shocked by it, but like, that's a pretty telling stat. So that was a major loss yesterday. And that's why I think going into Monday, you absolutely have to win that game. If they go out down 2-0, it's over. I get your thing about the, you know, the series doesn't start until a team wins on the road.
Well, you can't
going to beat the Knicks 4 out of 5 games. It's just not going to happen. They're not consistent enough. You don't know about Embiid's health. And the other concerning thing is Brunson did not play that well, and the Knicks still won. I think the Sixers mostly got what they wanted from their star players. I know Embiid, obviously, again, the on-off splits are concerning. But Embiid got you, I think he had 29 or 30 points. Maxey had over 30 points. that if you would have told me before the game Maxey and Embiid both had at or around 30 points, I thought they would have won the game, especially if you told me Brunson had 22. So to lose that game where you mostly got everything you needed, like, it's very concerning. The Knicks didn't win because of some fluke. The Knicks won because they were the better team.
Well, the Knicks probably played what, their B game?
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Like, I think they pretty much played their B game.
And now, that's they did rebound really well, and that's going to be a consistent problem, but that's not going to fix itself over the next few games.
So, and I've kind of felt this way all year. I thought they had a moment where the depth was really good, and then, you know, a lot of them were moved. And I mean, there are some injuries like Melton and Covington. So I think that does actually affect some of the depth. But the problem with the Sixers is that even when Embiid and Maxey are really good, if there's not someone else kind of going off, like they can't do it. And like Embiid and Maxey were fine yesterday. I mean, we'll get into Embiid. I got more thoughts on him. But like when, like, for example, with the Knicks, it's like when Brunson doesn't have it, or Ananobi, he didn't really do much yesterday. Yep. Even DiVincenzo, like, they have Bogdanović who kills him, who kills this
McBride.
Team. He always kills this team.
And
I wish they traded for him. I just, like, Buddy Hield stinks. Like, he just absolutely stinks. So, but Bogdanović, you have McBride. Like, they have, their three through eight is just better and more ready for these games than the Sixers 3-8. And that's the issue. And, like, that's where it comes down to Toby gets right put back into the Knicks because they have a $37 million player who's essentially unplayable. Like legitimately, Rick Council should play ahead of him. Like, so, it's not even a bit anymore, Elliot. It's not a bit. It's not a bit. So, he shouldn't be out there. He sucks, dude. He sucks.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been hesitant to do the whole, like, blame Toby and rip Toby thing. I think yesterday is probably the best example of how much Toby hurts them. Because to what you were just saying, that, you know, Brunson didn't have it, so guys on the Knicks picked him up. Embiid and Maxey mostly had it. You got 20 points from Lowry. Lowry had, you know, maybe we'll see, but will probably end up being his best game of the series in terms of making a big impact, making shots. In that third quarter, he fueled the run with Maxey to get him back into the game. Tobias, of the plus minus, was a literal zero. Wasn't a minus, wasn't a plus. He was a zero. And I think that's what really hurts with Tobias, is he just doesn't impact the game. And people argue he impacts it negatively, and there's certainly truth to that. On defense, he had issues. He let Josh Hart get open on a wide open three late in the game that really cost him. Some of the shots he was taking, I mean, just like, he looks mentally so checked out of it. It looks like he has lost all of his confidence.
He's leaking to Keith Pompey before the series starts that he's out of here.
That's also very concerning.
That's benchable. Is that not benchable?
Yeah, if they think it's him. But
who else would it
just
be?
Not gonna bench
who else would
him,
it be?
Well, I mean, it could be his brother. Whatever. But
regardless,
like,
it's the Tobias Harris.
I agree with you.
Thing.
But now, they didn't play him late in the game yesterday. He wasn't on the court for the final 4 or 5 minutes. That's encouraging. But he still played 31 minutes. So I was going through it this morning, and to what you were saying about their three through their eight. So let's say they decide Tobias is unplayable and you're not going to put him out there. So you have Embiid, Maxey, Oubre, Lowry, Batum, Paul Reed. But Paul Reed can't really be on the court if you think Embiid has to be on the court. So you're really at five players still. And then who else? Like, so while you can go to KJ Martin, you can go to Ricky Council.
Buddy.
Melton, I know, might come back, but ultimately Melton's cooked. Like, Melton cannot be the savior in this series. So Tobias has to play. He just is going to have to play. Now, maybe he's not going to play 35 minutes, but you can't have him playing 6 or 7 minutes or even less than that, because they're just not deep enough. They don't have the pieces. And again, to what you were saying, Buddy Hield has turned into a zero. I think they got seven combined points yesterday for Batum, Oubre, and Hield. And Buddy had zero. So if Buddy's not going to do anything,
he shot 1-3.
He shot 1-3. He won't shoot the ball. Your new co-host, Spike Eskin, tweeted this, and it's so true, that oftentimes Sixers players come here and they're not what you thought they were going to be. Buddy has to be the most extreme example ever of that, especially when early on in those first few games after they acquired him, he was shooting it all the time. Like, he had the ultimate green light. I don't think he's super comfortable in his role. I don't think he really understands when and how he should shoot, like, in terms of with Embiid and when they want him to shoot as opposed to keep the ball moving. But ultimately, we're talking about a Sixers team right now that has maybe six playable guys. And one of them, in Embiid, can't play 44 minutes. He can't do it. So they're just short on guys.
Let's get to Embiid, because I don't know. I just don't think it's ever going to click for him. Like, what are you throwing the ball off the backboard for to try to dunk on a bum knee? Like, that's just, like,
yeah.
I know you don't want to do the Jokic thing. Jokic is never on the ground. Jokic is never, like, dunking the basketball.
It's a fair point.
Like, you have a bum knee. You're questionable for the game. It's clear to me that he was more hurt in the Magic game than they have let on. He didn't play against the Nets. He looked hobbled against the Heat until it was late in the game, and he decided to show up. And against the Knicks, like, I don't know why you don't have to prove every game, like, how insanely skilled you are first. Just go play basketball. Like, that, it was unnecessary. It was unnecessary.
So, honest question for you. As a former high-level athlete in college.
Thank you.
I agree that, and it's going to pay me to give Jokic a compliment. Jokic is healthy all the time because Jokic doesn't move the way Embiid does, right? He's a slow-moving player. He thinks the game through. Like, so he's just not putting himself in as many physically compromising positions. Do I want Embiid throwing the ball off the backboard and dunking it? Of course not. Like, it was awesome when it happened.
It's like, what are you doing?
But I just don't know, like, well, what's he supposed to be thinking out there? I mean, I think what you hear athletes say a lot about injuries is when you think about it out there, you're not the same player. Well, he was not good against the Heat, and I agree that he clearly hurt himself more against the Magic than they're letting on. He was awesome to start that game. I mean, he came out and looked really, really good. So I don't know. Like, do I want him throwing it off the backboard? No, ideally not. But I don't think he can be out there thinking about it. I don't think you can be out there and thinking while you have the ball, okay, here's the best idea, but I shouldn't do this because of my knee. Like, he's just going to do what he's going to do. Now, to your point, maybe he needs to spend some hard time this offseason, or however you would do it, where he's not diving into the front row and making these big, big physical plays. Because so I watched a game yesterday with friends, and when he was on the floor,
So many friends.
So many friends. They were just lining up to watch the game with me. But when he was on the floor, I mean, it felt like the season was over. I mean, the look in his eyes when he was on the ground, it was terrible.
There was a line of blood.
Yeah, there was, like, blood. There was literal blood on his knee.
There was blood. Yeah. Like, I thought he had, like, what is, unless the brace, maybe the brace got him.
Right. Well, obviously the brace cut him.
Well, yeah. I want to make sure his knee didn't explode. And there wasn't,
yeah,
like.
Well, I don't think he would have came back. Yeah.
Well, that was my first thought. Listen, you got to remember something. There's not much going on up here, okay? So when I saw blood, I said, bang, knee's done. Yeah.
But like, the thing I'll say about Embiid that I sympathize with him on is you can tell the second he feels like something's wrong with it, it internalizes so quickly to him that, oh my God, it's torn again, the season's over, da, da, da. He feels how everyone else feels when he goes down. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, in the video of him this morning, I guess it went viral yesterday. I just saw it this morning, where he's laying on the ground and the look in his eyes is just complete terror. It is complete, I feel like this is over. So he goes down, he comes back in, of course. You knew he was going to come back in. He doesn't look like the same guy. He was awesome to start. I don't think the mid-range game is really working for him. I don't think it helps him that their main rebounder and best rebounder is currently playing on a hobbled leg, going against a great rebounding team. And to your point about maybe it'll never click, I don't know if it will, but the tough thing is it really was a perfect encapsulation of his career. Was awesome to start, dealt with an injury, lost in the playoffs. It is what it is. And so if you look at these next few games, do I think Embiid's going to play in game two? I think he's probably going to play in game two.
Oh yeah.
Do I think Embiid has it in him to win or to play at a high level for six straight games if that's what it takes? Physically, no, I don't think he does. And what really sucks is a month ago or 3 weeks ago, we were on this pod talking about how this is the healthiest Embiid has ever been. And here we go. And he looks so slender and he had the braids in and it was all looking great. Yesterday felt like a return to what it has been. And that, I think, was why I feel so discouraged after that win. And frankly, why I felt it after the Heat game. Because it looks like we're getting back into the same version of Embiid.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And eventually it comes back to there's one common denominator here. And he's here. And it's infuriating. And when we talk about how he looks and if he can hold up and if he can sustain. If they go down 2-0 and, you know, Monday happens, they lose, I'm just sitting him for the rest of the series.
No.
Yes, I am. Like, what's the point? He's obviously compromised. Like, I have to go push him out there for what? To lose in five? Like, go play the Olympics.
I knew this was going to come back to the Olympics thing. So all right.
Why would you play him?
Let's talk about it. So Nick Nurse was asked after the game, and I was surprised he was asked this. I don't know who was it asked it, but Nick Nurse was asked after the game if Embiid would be smarter to sit, considering the last few games, it looks like he's hurt himself. And, you know, there is the possibility that if he really tears that knee yesterday, and thank God he didn't, then maybe he's out all of next season, right? I completely get that. But here's the thing. It's past the point of protecting Embiid's health.
Nope.
It's year 10.
No, it's not.
So what do you want to do then? Just never play him? He has to play.
But he's hurt.
He's hurt, but he can play. There's a difference.
It's a losing battle.
That's the point I'm making. You're not listening.
They're down 2-0. How are they winning the series? What's the point?
They're not. I agree. Okay.
So then why am I putting him out there?
But do they have a better chance to win it with Embiid or without Embiid?
Of course they have a better chance with Embiid. But this season doesn't matter anymore. It's like if they go down 2-0, it doesn't matter. It's over. Like, why am I putting him out there on a bum knee, possibly making it worse, possibly affecting next year, when, like, next year's more of an all-in year? Like, they have all the cap space. They could have another star. Like, there's no point. Sometimes you got to know when to fold him. And if they go down 2-0, you got to fold him.
But if you are going to sit him for the rest of the series, then you might as well trade him, because that is an admission.
Don't be so dramatic.
I'm being dramatic. You want to sit him for the rest of a playoff series. If you sit him, it is an admission that you cannot build around this guy. And that's why I would not sit him. It is past the point of worrying about his health in terms of how you manage the team. Is there an argument for next season? You know, obviously, like, look, actually, even this year, he sat for most of the year and we're all like, here we go. He's healthy. And it's the same thing.
But
like,
he came back and got hurt. He's not healthy. He got hurt in the Magic game.
But he's still playing. And he actually played relatively well.
He's playing hobbled. He's playing at, what, 80% right now?
But 75%? He still had almost 80%. Like, if he was 30%, then maybe I would see your argument. If you think he's playing 80 or 70%, then you have to keep playing him. Like, I thought the question, while fair and interesting, was so out of left field. It makes you wonder if whoever asked it knows something more about his health than he's letting on. Because – again, he came out yesterday and looked awesome. He dominated early on. And then I think mentally he's so worried about the knee. That could be it. I wonder if it's not a physical thing as much as it's a mental thing. But you cannot sit him the rest of the series if they lose.
Sure you can. If you can't handle NBA Twitter being mean.
It's not about that, though. It's about the fact that...
That's the only reason he played against the Nuggets. That's the only reason he was out there in that game was because he sat against the Nuggets. The only reason he's out there against the Warriors was because people were mean to him. And you know, people were on Kendrick Perkins or whoever crushing him on ESPN.
You're folding the season. If Embiid comes in after... Well, what about... I mean, look.
You're down 2-0 against someone that was
in a locker room. Well, what does it say to the team if after you go down 2-0 and Embiid's like, peace, I'm out. Like, I'm not getting hurt.
It's a team decision. It's not his decision. At some point, they got to say, hey, okay, you got to sit down. Like, okay, what if they go down 3-0? Would you sit him?
No, I would not sit him.
That's insane.
Because I'm past the point of worrying about this.
But you have to protect him a little bit. I don't think you do.
I think you play him when you can play. It's too far in his career to do this. If it was year 2 or 3 or even year, like, whatever, then yes, I get your point about long-term. He is what he is at this point. He is somebody that is a big man that is never going to be fully healthy in the playoffs. And while obviously it would suck if you kept playing him and he missed all of next year, you have to take every chance you get. And right now, even if they're down 2-0, they still have a better chance of advancing than they do next year, where you have the whole regular season to get through.
Do you want to know why?
I do.
Do you know what it says to the team that, you know, like, whatever, the message to the team, if they go down 2-0, you pull Embiid. The message was sent to the team at the deadline that this was not a all-in year. They got Buddy Hield. Okay,
I agree with that. Best player at the trade deadline.
Who stinks. Okay. Yeah. So, like, that was the time where if they truly believed in this roster, like, dude, if I felt like if this was a conference final, if this was, like, this is a push all your chips in, yeah, I'm not sitting Joel Embiid. But the issue is that I've watched him in the Heat game. I watched him not watch. I didn't physically watch him because he wasn't on the court. I watched him sit against the Nets. Right. I watched him leave the Magic game hurt. I watched him limp off the court yesterday. He's clearly hurt, and I don't need to keep trotting him out there for a losing cause. And I understand, like, I'm on board with you when it comes to we can't keep protecting Embiid, but that's, like, when he's healthy. He's hurt again. Like they can tell me whatever they want, like, about his health, yada, yada, yada. I think he's legitimately hurt again. I think the Magic game and everything that's happened after that suggests that. Like, the whole idea of, well, this is the healthiest. He's not. He re-injured something. And if they are down 2-0 against a Knicks team where they have to, like, go on almost a miracle run, I'm not risking next year. I'm not risking him, his amazing Olympic gold medal run for a chance to come back and beat the Knicks, because I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I don't know if you ever heard this reference before, but like Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. And
I'm folding. Reference yours.
I'm folding them. I'm 100% folding them.
Like, if you're down
2-0. It's not worth it. It's not worth
if you're down 2-0.
If I'm down 2-0.
Here's my question. So let's say you feel that way. Then why play him on Monday?
Because they're still there. It's only 1-0. And I can steal the chance right, to be miracle.
What you're talking about is like risking a whole nother year, his career. You're all in next year. The team that I agree.
It's only 1-0. It's only 1-0.
So you keep risking his health as long as they have a chance, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think 0-2, they have no chance.
Yeah, I think at 0-2, it's basically over. Now, look, they do come home and they could win the next two, and then we're feeling way different. But I agree. If they lose on Monday, they don't have
Hold on, you were just the one that would say that said you'd play him if they're down 3-0.
Yes, I would play him no matter what. Again, I think it's silly to sit him at the end of the day, because it's just you don't sit your best player in the playoffs. Maybe this is old man yelling at Cloud and I'm Mr. Really don't is. Hit in training camp. But if your best player can play in the playoffs, you play him. I just think it would be a really bad message. And it would basically be punting on the Joel Embiid era. Or it would be
it's
like giving up on
punting on the
it
era. It would be.
You don't sit him if he's healthy. Otherwise, then
he's
you,
not
then
healthy. You, he's not healthy. What are you talking
he's
about?
Healthy enough. He's
no,
healthy
he's
enough.
No, he's not. He said, dude,
well, he's playing.
In two of the last three games, he has had to leave the court because of his knee.
But I
that's
think that's
not
mental.
Healthy.
I do think that's mental a little bit. Don't you agree? I mean, they've said it that when he feels something weird with that knee, it freaks him out and he leaves.
So I would freak out too. I would 100% freak out.
But there's a difference between, and I don't want to use the word afraid, but there's a difference between being mentally worried about what's happening and there actually being physical damage to the knee. That is different, right? So if he's falling and he's like, oh my God, I'm really hurt, and they get him in the locker room and they're, bro, you're okay. You didn't hurt it. Like, get back out there. That is very different than him falling in the Magic game and in yesterday against the Knicks, and there being literal physical harm to the knee. So if he's not hurting it more, then it's really just a mental thing.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when the Eagles benched Carson in 18. And then maybe they could bring in Foles, and the Sixers could bring in Foles, and maybe they'd go on a little bit of a run.
Paul Reed.
So let's talk quickly about Maxi. So okay. Maxi, I thought, looked good yesterday. You know, first half it was a lot of where's he at, like where's Tyrese? He wasn't making an impact on the game. Mm-hmm. I thought it was meaningful that he had the fourth quarter. Like, it was a lot of drives that I couldn't figure out. Like, it looked too easy in a way. And in my Thibodeau, like, he's done this with these kind of guards before, like Kobe, yeah. The famous thing of baiting him into shooting all the time. Like, I think that's what he might have done with Tyrese Maxey yesterday, of just baiting him into letting him get to the rim. And if he can make circus shots, like, go ahead. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let you get hot from three, because if he gets hot from three, it's easier to put you back into the ball game. Like, I thought their thing with Maxey was take away the three, make him drive, and if he makes the circus shots or makes the tough shots at the rim, you live with it and you take two rather than the three.
So I thought early on, part of it was, I mean, he did have 7 points in the first quarter. But I thought part of it early on was Embiid was just playing at such a high level that he kind of took a step back to that. The second quarter is where I was disappointed in Maxi, when Embiid was A, off the court for part of it, but then it also clearly cooled off after his really hot start. I think Maxi at times takes too long to get going in the games. Nick Nurse talked about before the game how before the year he set a goal of 20 shots a game for Maxi. And I think he came right around there. So Maxey's shooting it as much as they want him to. For me, it's more where these shots are happening. Again, in the second quarter, the Sixers really needed him, especially when Embiid went out. And when they need him, he didn't step up. So I think you're seeing two things. One, when Embiid's on the court, Maxey's life is just easier. We saw that when Embiid was out for those 9 weeks. We've seen it when he plays with Embiid this year. They can't focus on him as much. And in the second half, I thought him coming up big, especially in the third and then late, I mean, him driving to the basket was outstanding to watch. I think that, you know, you joked at the beginning about the Mecca, but there is something to be said about stepping up in the second half of a playoff game in New York against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. There just is. There just is. So I was encouraged by the second half, but where it really comes down to, and it was a small sample size, but it, outside of rebounding is probably why they lost this game. We talked all season about, can Maxey be the guy if Embiid's not there? Can Maxey be the team to be the guy to carry him? And yesterday, he was not when Embiid was off the court. When Embiid's on the court, his life is easier, and he kind of, you know, benefits from the gravity and the attention that Embiid gets. But all these years, why have they lost the non-Embiid minutes? People point to the backup center. But really why they lose the non-Embiid minutes was Jimmy Butler wasn't that good in the Raptors series. Ben Simmons choked late in the playoffs. And then James Harden, at least, you know, now obviously he was the best of the three, but there were moments where he didn't play well and completely disappeared. Embiid has never had somebody to step up and really kind of carry him when he can't do it. Maxey came close yesterday, but in the non-Embiid minutes, Maxey couldn't do it. So, yeah, I mean, I think Maxey still had a decent game. I think you take the point total he had, was like 33, 34, something like that.
33.
But it was where they came, and it was what he was unable to do when Embiid wasn't on the court that I thought was disappointing. It looks like he takes too long to get into the games.
I can see it. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't I think the numbers would suggest it was a huge, huge, huge performance, but
yeah, in watching it
in real time, it certainly didn't feel that way, but yeah. He had some good moments late, and you hope that kind of translates over into game two, because they need him to get going a little bit earlier for sure. Lowry, dude, like,
so good.
It's so,
I was so wrong about him too.
Me too. It's so fun watching an old dude that just knows how to play basketball. Like, he just knows how to play the game. Like, there was a time in, I think, the third quarter where he had, like, telepathic vision to get the ball to Batum in the corner for a three. And it was like, how do you see that? And it's so, like, when I talk about winning basketball players, like, it's like an obsession of mine.
It is an obsession of yours.
Like, he is just a winning basketball player. And they've gotten way more from him than I thought they would have ever gotten. He played 38 minutes yesterday. And he looked pretty spry for, again, 38 years old, playing 38 minutes. Yeah. He had 18 points, 4-7 from three. We talk about, you know, is McBride going to be able to do that again? My worry is, like, is Lowry going to be able to do that again? But at the same time, at least, you know, he's going to make smart plays at the right time, hit an open three, and get team into offense. And I just, he's been such a good pickup for this team.
So I do think of the three that kind of had uncharacteristic games yesterday, McBride getting 20 or whatever he ended up with, you know, I don't know how uncharacteristic that is. Outside of Quickly, he's probably their best bench scorer that they have.
Yeah, outside of Quickly.
But, you know, I thought with Lowry, how he got his points are ways. Now, he shot better from three than he will throughout the series, 4-7. But to your point, he's a veteran winning player that knows how to play the game. And I think that won't change. Now, maybe he wears down a little bit. And that's another concerning thing, I think, when I was talking about the rotation, that of the seven playable guys or six playable guys you feel confident in, two of them are old in Batum and Lowry, and one of them has some version of a bad knee in Embiid. So I think the Knicks are better built to withstand a long series. But Lowry yesterday, I do think it is replicable. I don't think that he will hit four threes every game, but how he got his points, how he impacted the game, that's how Lowry does it. So I think that you can count on him being good the rest of the series. If there's one silver lining, because I think I've been pretty negative so far in this pod, if there's one silver lining is Josh Hart is not making three threes in the fourth quarter often. I think their defensive strategy of leaving him open and focusing on Brunson worked. Hart missed a ton of threes early on throughout the game, and Brunson didn't really do much. And Brunson has not really lit the Sixers up this year. So if you look at, you know, what is more likely to happen, I think it's more likely Lowry has an impact on the games moving forward than it is Josh Hart is hitting wide open big threes late in the game. He's just not a good, he's not a good shooter.
Well, the problem is, like, okay, so he's, now they did leave him, like, sometimes egregiously wide open. I know he hit the one.
I think that was a good strategy. It hurt them late, obviously, but.
But, like, also, is DiVincenzo going to have 8 points again?
You're right. That's
the issue, is that, if it's not hard, okay, well, then there's someone else that can kind of do it. Mm-hmm. And, and again, we're talking about the 3-8, like, building a basketball team. You know, that's kind of the issue with the Sixers. Who would you rather have on the court right now? And I know this is going to be shocking from me because I've been slanderous towards this man.
Yes.
Who would you rather play more, Campaign or Buddy Hield?
Probably Campaign.
That hurts me
because I'm very anti-Campaign because I'd rather have Pat Beverly. But, I mean, Buddy's just awful, man. I don't know what to say. If he's not shooting threes, I don't know what he does. He's slow. He's not good on defense. He's not great at getting to the hoop. He's not going to shoot. Like, at least Campaign, I will say, I think a theme so far is, like, confidence. Toby's lost it. I think Buddy's lost it. Campaign might be one of the last players that hasn't played enough to lose their irrational confidence. I think when he goes in, he feels very good about his chances. Like, so yeah, I would probably rather play Campaign than Buddy.
I need more irrational confidence, guys, with this team. Like,
they're all gone. Remember we did a pod one day how like Buddy had it, Oubre had it. Like they're all.
Well, Oubre still has it. I mean, Oubre still has it. It's so funny because Oubre had 5 steals yesterday. He really only scored 9 points. And I like having him out there. Like,
he's their third best player, him or Lowry, like I've said.
Yeah. Like, it's wild to me how he's one of those guys that somehow, I can't believe I'm saying this, but he somehow impacts the game without scoring a ton. I don't know how it happened.
He's a winning player.
But he had 5 steals yesterday. He's always had like this weird block numbers. Yep. He's starting to actually hit some open threes. He like will try to dunk on people. Like you need more guys that don't give a bleep in the playoffs. And like you look at Toby, you look at Buddy, you look at some of these guys, and they just look so not into it. And then you need the Campaigns to give them a spark. Like Campaign, if they go down, it's looking like, oh, here comes the tight Sixers or whatever. Like, I need Campaign out there.
I agree with that.
To try to give them some kind of spark because he can. I mean, he can give them a spark and need someone with some energy. Like, Buddy just looks like the life's been zapped out of him. And I know he had, 6 assists against the Heat. But, like, you're here to score, man.
Yeah,
and
you're here to shoot.
You're here to shoot. So
I have a disappointing thing
yesterday.
I have a Nick Nurse take for you. So moving forward in this series, is this not exactly why they got Nick Nurse and fired Doc? Like Doc could go down 0-1 to the Knicks. Doc could lose to the Knicks in the first round. The problems the Sixers are facing right now, A, rebounding. And Nick Nurse said after the game that rebounding something that he has to look at, it's something you can scheme in terms of being a better rebounding team. I agree with you. A lot of it is effort. But if he's a great head coach that makes a difference in series, let's see if he can scheme the rebounding. 2, what's he going to do with Toby? Doc just played Toby. Doc just played Ben Simmons. Doc just kept giving the ball to James Harden even when he's clearly out of it. Is he going to make a Toby adjustment? Is Toby's minutes going to change? Is Toby going to start? He's already started benching him in the fourth, but is he going to pull some of Toby's minutes? So those are 2 and 3, really. If Embiid's compromised, how are they going to find offense? How is he going to scheme plays open to make this offense easier to get points without Embiid being his full self? I was told when they hired Nick Nurse, and I like the hire, that he was a difference-making head coach. When we had Danny Green on, he said he's a weapon on the sideline. Well, let's see it. Let's see it. Because against Miami in that play-in game, they came out in zone, and the Sixers looked like they were completely unprepared for it. I think that is personnel. But ultimately, we can't say Doc was the reason for last year and then this year it's the players. Like either the coach impacts it or not. And they didn't look prepared for the zone. They didn't look prepared for the rebounding. We can say it's effort, but Nick himself said it was a scheme thing. They had even a worse rebounding game than you would have thought, than we could have expected. So let's see the changes. The whole thing was Doc didn't make changes in the playoffs. Let's see for game 2 and game 3 where these changes are. Because if they look exactly the same, then what's the point? Like, where's all the Nick Nurse hype, and what was the point of moving on from Doc?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. I mean, yeah. you can't lose a series you can lose a series to him, but you can't lose in like embarrassing fashion to Tom Thibodeau. You know, I mean, we know why Tibbs is here, and it's for defense, but offense has always been kind of his issue. I mean, I think the main problem is Brian Gates. You know, every time I see Brian Gates, I'm like, how's that guy an NBA coach? Yeah. He doesn't scream NBA coach. He looks like an accountant. He looks like he worked at an insurance company for like 40 years.
Calculator guy.
Yeah. He's an analyst guy. But yeah, I think that's
all you loved.
I think the Nurse stuff is definitely fair. So, I mean, listen, there's another game Monday night. They're going to come out.
Win?
I do think they win. I actually do think
they
win. I can tell.
The line's 5.5. I'm really surprised by that. I mean, I don't think that's quite a Joel's not playing, but I think there's some Joel might not play built into that. You would think that if they viewed this as an even series, that line would be much closer because the Sixers need this one much more. You know, obviously it's a big one for the Knicks, but
you labeled it a must win. That's how you know it's a big game.
Yeah.
That's how
you know it's a I guess you game. Could argue maybe it can't lose, but I think it's more of a must win. And then the other thing, if you look at the odds, the Sixers they're slowly getting down there. I think they're now plus two something to win the series. When it started, they were -110 or -118 or something like that. So, I mean, things are starting to slip away. The 5.5, I think, is a very telling line.
Yep. So final things, I guess, before we get out of here, what did you think about James Jackson showing up to do this podcast with a Nova hat on?
Yeah, it was very,
I mean, like a, because like last podcast, right, we accused them, who are you rooting for? You know, you're rooting for the Nova Knicks, or are you all Sixered up? And he's like, oh, Sixers.
Yeah, he did say that.
Shows up today in a Cats hat. Is that because of Lowry? I'm not banking it all on Lowry.
Well, here's what I'll say to not just James, but to all Nova listeners of this podcast. You can't do and James didn't, but the listeners can't do the, well, I was just happy to see the Nova guys play well if the Sixers are going to lose. No. You're either rooting for the Sixers or you want the Nova guys to do well. You can't have both.
I just don't know, like, how do you?
Okay, let me address some things. I was trying to stay out of it. You guys pulled me.
I look at him in his Nova hat. He's so
happy. I didn't even take the hat off. Like, I kept the hat on. I'll own up to it. Sixers all the way, but it's you cannot blame us as Nova fans for, like, if the Sixers lose.
You absolutely can. You can't root for the Nova.
You're like, all right, well, if we had to lose to somebody.
I don't buy that.
I think, like, to sting away a little bit, where, like, we lost to someone who I could root for down the road. Like, we didn't lose to a foe. We didn't lose to a rival. We didn't lose to someone I hate. Mm-hmm. We lost to, you know, lost to our guys.
Look at you. Still wearing the hat.
Going down with the ship. Yep. Thanks. Dynamite Adam. So, listen, we'll be back, I guess, what, Monday night? Oh, I want to make it official, too. I got one more thing I want to make official. Because I now watch games for next year, which is always a healthy way to go about a playoff game.
Of course.
There's only three players that I want back outside of, like, I know Paul Reed's here. I know Embiid's here.
No, well, you know what's interesting? If they don't make it out of the second round, Paul Reed is not here. I should rephrase that. If they lose to the Knicks, his contract is not guaranteed for next year. Remember, there was that caveat where I think it was either they had to get out of the second round or make the second round. But if they're out in the first, his deal is not guaranteed beyond this year. I'm like 90% sure. Dude,
he shot that three yesterday, and I wanted to jump through the TV. Every time he makes a basket, it looks like a mistake.
I agree with that.
Like, it's never. Wow, look at what a move by Paul Reed. It's always like he just flails and throws it up there.
As I mentioned, I was watching the game with all my friends, just so many friends around. And when he shot that three and Mitchell Robinson blocked it, I laughed out loud. And I immediately thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I'm with a bunch of – but that block on the three was pretty embarrassing.
Did your Knicks fans, friends check in yesterday?
No, actually. They were, I think, not much trash talk happening. Yeah.
That's good. That's healthy. Yeah. But there's only three players that I want, really, that need to be Sixers next year. I want Batum back. Just yes. knows how to play the game. I want Lowry back. I don't care if he's 40. Yeah. Lowry, he can still play, clearly.
I'm in on that. Yeah.
And I think he matters. And I'm not saying $20 million a year. I could use Kelly Oubre back. Like the fact that Buddy's probably gonna make more money next year than Kelly is egregious.
Honestly though, real quick, I don't think that Buddy might be really messing up his salary here. The Sixers probably aren't gonna re-sign him. Like he's not been good here. And I don't know. The new bet might be who gets more money, Buddy or Kelly Oubre.
It should be Kelly.
It should be Oubre. Oubre is better than Buddy Hield. He's a better player.
Yeah. And he came to Philly. Really ingratiated himself into the team, into the city.
One of us.
Well, and I think legitimately, you might laugh. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think Philadelphia has gotten the most out of Kelly Oubre. I think that there's something about playing in a town that cares. He's been a wizard. He's been a hornet.
Well, he's just.
Yeah, but barely. I mean, did he even
and also,
play?
I don't think they have real fans. Like, they're a great team.
But... Plus, was he on the team that, like, ended up.
Yeah,
he
wasn't third
pick in the draft. Yeah. So Washington, Phoenix, you know, before KD, they had bad things, but still.
And not
he's playing 34 him. Minutes. If he's playing 34 minutes a night on the Phoenix, the 2019 Suns, they probably suck. Okay,
yeah, as opposed to 34 minutes on the Sixers, then they're legitimate title contenders. Yeah.
So
no, I would take Oubre back for sure.
I hope they resign him. I have come full circle. He's not as much of a losing basketball player as I thought.
I like
still
it.
A little bit, but not. I'm not out. So
the best thing
we'll
about
see what happens.
Is changing it. So I'm proud of you.
Except with the take fault, that cannot be changed. Well, do you have any closing thoughts before we get on out of here?
I just wish I felt better about this. I really do. I really, really do. I'm excited to watch Monday. I'll be curious to see who comes out with more fire of the two teams. It's a bigger game for the Sixers, but would it shock me if they came out and folded in the first 7 minutes? No. So I'm interested to see how they come out.
Well, as I try to tell you, clean slate. They're not the old Sixers.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that one's so far out of the take vault.
The second
I started watching the playoffs again, I was like, no, can't do it.
Would you trade every single thing the Sixers have for Anthony Edwards?
Yes.
Right, Maxi, Embiid, the picks, just.
Yeah. I love him so much.
He's so good. He really is. I love him right now, but, you know, 12, 13-year-old Elliot would have so many, like, pairs of his shoes, his jerseys. Like, I wasn't a big poster guy, but he's everything I love in a player.
The 90s had Jordan, 2000s had Kobe, 2020s. We have Anthony Edwards.
I love it. Yeah, that's a good
that's
tweet.
That's our guy.
You should tweet
that's
that.
That's our guy. Yeah. But yeah, I legitimately think, I think they win on Monday. I think they come out ready to go. And if they go down 0-2, watch the game.
Bye-bye, Embiid.
Watch the game from the benches, Joel.
Yeah.
We'll get them next year, as they say. All right. For Elliot Shore Parks, for James Jackson, continuing to wear his Nova hat behind the scenes. Mm. Very disappointing. And for me, Jack Fritz. We will be back post-game, hopefully, maybe, depends on the fills, tomorrow night for Sixers next game too. Go Sixers, make it 1-1 before you head home.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you Monday or Tuesday.
Bye.